This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Collect, Marco's Pizza, and Nassau Cruise Port.
The Foundation.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely glorious Wednesday afternoon, live and in full effect, January 17th. Happy birthday to all those persons celebrating a birthday. I guess you could see what angle we're coming from today. This is all about being able to put a concentrated effort to be able to reduce this crime that we're seeing in this country. It's all hands on deck, baby. Let's talk like this and have a good conversation. Make sure you guys pick up your Guardian newspaper. Crime was down 20% at year's end. Rape is up 11%. I think this is bananas. For me, this is kind of peculiar. I'm not going to fight them, but we can talk about the thing, right? So it says, Monroe, we'd had to be careful in drafting the anti-gang law. He's talking about those particular things. And then the government releases the plan. If you guys make sure you see that, if you were part of the 8270111, I actually sent it out. Somebody hit me up and said, Howard, you work for Office of Prime Minister. I asked you for something that you sent in. Don't fight me. Look at the thing. Just look at it. Let us participate in understanding these things. I think all of us have sort of a posture and a position of how we could be able to get these things done. Shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got these things taken care of for you. Make sure you get your, if you're going to do crime in other ways, make sure you get your car license. Listen to me. Insured. Get your car insured. They got everything laid out for you. The cops is on the road. I think they've amplified this. They haven't released the information, but this got to be Operation Secure City 2.0. They got things all over the city. Make sure you get the things taken care of, guys. If you need that thing taken care of as it relates to your insurance, reach out to them. 3411-AFS, 3411-AFS. They could be able to take good care of you. Actually, my good friend, Etheric Bow, he can be able to take good care of you in those areas. Guys, we're talking crime today. There's a couple of things that we want to be able to talk about. I'm going to open up the lines and be able to do these things. There's a couple of things before we do that and before I introduce my guest, I wanted to kind of put out there. We've been seeing some stuff. And I've read this information as it relates to what's happening in the newspaper and the kind of a posture and position that we see our Minister of National Security taking, right? We've heard most recently him being able to identify, and I don't know whether or not that's being able to deter the eyes, the burning stares, the glare of society on his ministry and on this particular administration and just being kind of reflecting it back into the household and indicating that, hey, listen, parents need to be able to take care of their kids today. We're seeing something different. the prime ministers have actually been able to put a few pillars out. They gave us some steps to be able to see significant reduction. They talked about how they're going to be able to alleviate these things. And one of those things was anti-gang. This is sort of an anti-drafting, an anti-gang law. Now, the prime minister goes on and says, if you're associated with a gang, if we're coming after you. If you have a lot of shiny things and no way to explain your wealth, we are going to seize what you have. And this is why we keep going back to corruption. Because the first text I get, Howard, what about those politicians who got shiny things and can't explain it? I'm not going to fight you. We're going to talk about this thing today. Guys, we're going to open up the lines in a little while, but I want to be able to read something for you. That's a little taste so you can be able to see exactly what's what. He said, it's easy to pass a law just to be able to placate to people, right? But at some point, you're going to have to operate under it. And in this area, if you go after people and you don't have, you're not succeeded, then in some respect, you embolden them, meaning the criminals. I don't necessarily disagree with him. I want to be able to read this last piece and then I'm going to introduce themselves. So the preferable thing is to prevent people from joining gangs. But if you can't prevent people from joining gangs, then you have to have effective legislation to deal with the policing and prosecution part of it. And of course, the punishment part. And there's hope for you to be able to be successful in these areas as a deterrent to prevent people from looking at that particular lifestyle. I thought this was peculiar. I thought this was peculiar because in the midst of being able to reduce something that we're seeing here in the country that continues to bubble over the surface, that continues to be able to erupt, there's statistics that indicate that 2010 was the last time we see single digits. 2010. And then again, we saw single digits, I think it was 2018, 2019, something like that, right? 2010, we saw 94 murders. And then a few years later, almost a decade later, we saw 91 murders. And so now, over the past 14 years in this country, it has been the social norm to expect triple-digit murders. Bananas to me. This is bananas. And so I understood, for me, this had to be something that actually goes far beyond the social rhythm of things. What happened? I picked up an article and actually being able to read those things. And one of the things that we talk about, the clinical psychiatrist, Dr. David Allen, who continues to be able to talk about these things, if you're talking about anything to do with the mind and the rhythm of how things happen in our society and being able to get to the core of that, this is a name that will pop up. You would have known him over the years. If you don't know him, you need to get familiar with his work. He's been doing this relentlessly dedicated to being able to do these things. There's an article in the paper from Thursday, February 7th, 2019, and this is from the Tribune newspaper. This isn't from us, right? So he read a little something, and then I'm going to read this, and then we're going to get into it. He says, if you look at our murder rate, the average age of the Bahamian murderers are between the ages of 16 and 24. I'm convinced through my work in the family around the country that there is a hidden epidemic. That we're not paying attention to the early childhood sexual abuse, incest, and that's wreaking havoc on our country. The new theory isn't what have you done, but what happened to you. We now believe that people who are traumatized continue producing trauma. You're going to have to have a conversation about the core concepts and ideas of why kids even want to join gangs and tiptoe into some introspectives as to whether or not we as a society, with our segregation, with our separation, with our cliques, so forth and so on, has led these disenfranchised young men and women who've already been traumatized by violence visited upon them by people who they lent their strength to and believed it. Now the chicken's coming home to roost. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my very good friend to be able to chop this thing down with you today, none other than Garth Roseborough. My brother, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Well, Happy New Year to everyone. It's a pleasure to be here once again. And I know you've had much to conversate about. For those of you who are going through the valley, of sorrow, my condolences to you. And for those of you who are experiencing the blessings of a mighty Creator, I say to you, we celebrate with you and look forward to a very prosperous and a very blessed 2024.
My brother, it is wonderful to be able to sit here with you. I think the last time we spoke, but the last time we sat together here on air, it was before this kind of a rampant, relentless, one after another murder, almost it would have felt like day after day after day after day. And now we're sitting here being able to have a conversation in retrospect after the government has released information about what their course and action is, after the Prime Minister has released a national address, after the Minister of National Security has been being able to take those things, after mothers have cried and the blood is still in the street. I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about identifying how we could be able to eradicate this. Now, the government has come up with a sort of a concept to be able to toughen down on the legislation to ensure that we could be able to deal with this anti-gang legislation, this law. But they won't strengthen it. They won't strengthen it, right? The Nassau Guardian indicated to Minister Monroe that they don't even use the current bills that they have. And he indicated that this is why we have to strengthen it. Because if we're using it and it's not strong enough, one of the examples they indicated is that they bring some children before the courts who all had their middle finger up and they indicated that this was the gang, they threw it out. This, if you don't strengthen this thing and being able to identify this, this is where the issue is. And this is what we're going to have in this country. Talk to me about that.
Well, what we are now experiencing in our nation is something that has been created as early as the 70s and 80s. It became stronger. If we are not prepared to have an ultimatum and be firm in our ultimatum, if we're not prepared to root out, as you would say, the very foundation of this type of naughty behavior, of course this will continue. Now, there are people who actually benefit from this type of activity. I want you to understand this. There are business people that benefit. Morticians benefit. Pastors benefit, lawyers benefit, judges benefit, the whole judicial system benefits, and of course, our national system in and of itself, when put before the world's lending institutions, benefit. There is some benefit to crime. We cannot deter from that, but at the same time, it affects you and I, the small man. You and I, the small lady, the children are affected. I think it's a very annoying situation for us because it has been going on for too long. But I'll tell you how I really feel about this. And you can tell in my voice, this is all very heart-wrenching to me. The real root of crime and murders in our country stems from an uncaring spirit. People just don't care until it visits their own doorstep. These people committing these crimes are our children. They are our neighbors. These are our parishioners. These are our students. These are people that work alongside us on the job. We know these people. But because we feel as if they are not an immediate threat to ourselves, we allow them to escape, as it were. Not until that visits our doorstep do we start to cry and say, woe, woe is me. This is what makes a gang. A gang does not consist of one person. A gang consists of many coming together, many people that we have not cared about coming together, many people that we have not paid attention to coming together and not dealing with them, even in the infant stage of life. How do these people go and recognize Howard Grant? Bahamas, in an elementary school, in a high school. How could we not see that these people were potential murderers and potential deviants? That's not acceptable. So when you talk about coming down hard on criminals, that is a response to the situation, Howard Grant.
What are we now going to do in the schools in terms of psychological evaluation and identifying who the potential future is when it comes to this type of behavior? That's where I feel the conversation has to be very inclusive as to who our young, darling children are. And as a former teacher, I'll say this and I'll let you speak, Howard. I recall in a classroom having children who were misbehaving. And you call the parents. And you know what the parents say to you? Not my darling child. Not my angel. They could never do anything like that. How dare you try to discipline my child? That's my child. And so when you have that type of behavior, what do you expect to be the result in the community and in the nation?
You know what's crazy for me, right? As you continue to be able to get into this, you spoke at the beginning of this to the benefits of crime. Mm-hmm. And to many in the community, and I think a lot of us could be able to go back to it. It was 1 year, I thought this was wild. I thought it was crazy for me, for Howard Grant. Just observing this, I felt like this was like it was like an out of body experience. There was a mortician years back. I care not to call anyone's name, right? That had this kind of a big back to school thing, right? Now you know the kids benefited, right? And she was giving out. Oh my God, I won't be decent. She was giving out like these big bags and all these stuff like that. And she said something, right? Beyond what she was doing, she said something that struck a nerve to me for the business that she was in. She said, I want to thank the community. They have been good to me. That blew my mind. That blew my mind. You hear me?
Very profound.
But it was, I can't fight her. She does business. This is the business she's in. And she found herself being able to reach levels as a result of the deprivation
of course.
And the decay that exists in our society.
Of course.
There are many that continue to be able to benefit.
The banks, lending institutions, they benefit.
Lawyers.
You want me to say this, and I thought about this coming here, and I do apologize, Howard, for taking long to warm up this morning. It's, you know, I promise you I was going to take the month of January off. But, you know, I missed my friend, and he said, come along, and so I'm here today. So
praise
thank
God,
you for
here.
The invitation. But I thought about this coming here today, Howard. As a pastor, those who are in the ecclesiastical ranks of our society, when you hear of someone's passing and the family calls you, and of course, no direct relation to you, many times the person who is now deceased has not even been attending services for quite some time.
No.
But pastor shows up and knocks on the door, rings the doorbell. And of course, you already bring out the best china you got and, you know, the living room that no one ever is allowed to sit in. He could sit inside there, eh? Mm-hmm. You know, got a nice spread for him. And or she, because you know your female pastors. And they walk in this very solemn and very sanctified way, you know. And, oh, my condolences and my sympathies. Oh, this is so sad, so heart-wrenching. Where was pastor when this child was being devious? Where was pastor when this child joined the gang? Where was pastor when the family didn't have anything to eat and the child had to go to find something to eat? You see, pastor can't just show up at the end of the child's life and say, my sympathies and my condolences. And then guess what else pastor does to you, since you love your pastor so much? He can charge you $500 to bury the child, eh? Or charge you a fee, eh? Or you got to pay a church cleaning fee, eh? But yet they're sorry and, you know, my deepest sympathies. Listen, people, I'm not throwing stones here, Mr. Howard Grant. What I'm simply saying is that the whole spirit of caring does not start at the end of the story for a child's life.
I like this, what you're doing.
The spirit of caring starts in the infancy when the child is born and we welcome that child into the world. And then there's a caring that comes from the family. There's a caring that comes from the neighbors. There's a caring that comes from the school institutions. There's a caring that comes from the church itself. And in that caring, we can identify who that child is. Because when you care and the child does not care, then we know we have to find attention matters, and we have to find assistance to bring this child from an uncaring state into a caring state in order for that child to be a part of a caring community.
I got to touch this with you. Dr. David Allen actually went in this article, he went even deeper, right? Now, just to give you sort of a backstory, psychiatrist on hidden epidemic wreaking havoc in the Bahamas. That's the article. Psychiatrist on hidden epidemic wreaking havoc in the Bahamas. That's the article, right? And so he goes on into the article to be able to talk. He says, of these findings, Dr. Allen said, we found there is a powerful connection between early childhood sexual abuse and late teenage year murders. Is that if a kid is abused sexually between 1 and 7 years old, they have a high rate of violent crimes in the late teenage years and in their early 20s. Now, I want to say this because a lot of us ain't touching these things. I want to say this. I feel like, I don't know whether or not that's, if it's culturally, I don't know if it has to do with our ethnicity, our exposure, the fact that we're on an island and there aren't, like our activities are confined to a little bit of things, but we are in many instances over-sexualized as a people. Now this abuse, I'm sure that Dr. Allen could be able to give us some more depth and detail about this. This abuse may not necessarily be visiting this kind of a heavy abuse on the child. We're not talking, I don't know whether or not this is only confined to rape. But there are other ways that these children are sexualized, over-sexualized, right? Amplified in these areas, and they find this kind of their innocence being ripped away from them at a very early age. This void now is being filled with violence. This sort of an empty space that exists within them. And this question, I had a friend, right? And I don't want to take it here. We're still talking violence. We're still talking gangs. We're still talking reduction of crime. I had a friend years ago. He's dead now, right? Very good friend. He went to school with me, high school. And he told me a story, his life, because he was living, an alternative lifestyle. Just for the purposes of decency in this conversation, you know what I'm talking about, right? So, you know, in conversation, he says, someone that is known to the community visited this violence upon him. Mm-hmm. And as he screamed out as a child, a little boy, no one came to him. No one came to his aid. He screamed for God. He said, no one showed up. He screamed for family help. No one came. And this was visited upon him regular. The family's left. No one's home. Everybody out. He's now home after school, so forth and so on. And here in this kind of a space by himself. Mm-hmm. Until after he realized that help wasn't coming, he says to me that he recognized that he was helping. And he found and he found pleasure. I thought this thing was wild what he was saying, man, right?
That's an interesting
he found
twist.
Pleasure.
Uh-huh.
But many times, these people visit this violence upon others. Mm-hmm. This concept and idea of pedophilia that's perpetuated as a result of what's being visited upon them sometimes expands into other areas. See, now, if we're going to have this conversation, we got to get to the core.
Well, you know, Howard, we all often associate what you just said very profoundly with poverty. But even my parents, you know, my dad taught at R.M. Bailey School, and then he taught at the College of the Bahamas in the nights. My mother worked at the bank, and so she never got home until late at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I was left home with a living maid, and of course, she can't tell me nothing because, you know, she's from Jamaica. She ain't even from here, so to hell with her. I in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I had that type of attitude growing up. But, you know, sooner or later, people have to take responsibility for themselves. You have to determine in your mind who and what you desire to be. This is why in the formative years, church is so very important. To find a religious base, whether that be Rastafarian or Muslim or whatever that faith is that you have, Baha'i or whatever, if you have that foundation, that moral foundation, that alone can be revisited at a time of decision-making as a child to say, you know what, there has to be a better way. I got a call this morning from India, early this morning.
You sound like a scammer. Go ahead.
No, it was a friend of mine.
Okay.
You know, when you go to school, people say schooling, you know, going to school will make you smarter, but it does expose you to a lot of people and a lot of other cultures. Mm-hmm. But my friend from India sent me a quote from Nelson Mandela. He said, "Our world is not divided by race, color, by, you know, genders or religion. Our world is divided into two categories, people who are wise and people who are fools. And fools divide themselves based on race, color, gender, and religion." If we were to put the average Bahamian into two categories of wisdom and being foolish, then that starts the conversation as to who we are as a nation. Do we just want to party, have a good time, drink rum, drink liquor first thing in the morning, smoke dope, like you said a while ago, sexually make babies and fool around and keep our minds in the gutter and go to, what do you call these places again, strip joints and the works? Or do we truly, as a people, want to build this nation? Because the wise man builds on a rock, eh?
You know something, we're getting heavy with this conversation. Let me tell you why. And this is Howard Grant. Don't fight me. I've come to realize, and I got to take a break. I've come to realize that a great deal of people, because you have to remember something. Let's get to the base and the foundation. These are the same people who was in school with you competing in your olives in grade 3.
Yes.
These are the same people. Mm-hmm. Remember, you was in third grade. You was excited. You were enthusiastic. You were participating. You were you're the same person. Mm-hmm. Fourth grade, you are the same person. That when we start to learn to write cursive, I remember you. Mm-hmm. I remember you.
Sang the national anthem
together. I remember you. Yes. I remember us plotting the maypole together. I remember us playing marbles. I remember you. Mm-hmm. I remember this, the one who used to whine good when we was little boys. I remember this girl who could be tortured to her. Mr. I can remember you. Then all of a sudden, as you grow, you give up on life. You give up on our society. Not because you don't have passion and purpose in you. It's because you've never been observed. There's no one around you to help you. And you need help.
We all do.
All of us need help.
We need help.
And no one is having this conversation. These are the same people that we've dashed off into nothing. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. Mm-hmm. These are the same people that when you hear a 15-year-old just got murdered today, right? And then you hear a 16-year-old get murdered today, a 21-year-old got murdered today, then the police come back and say, well, this particular person was known to the police. And the country give a sigh of relief. Oh, well, thank God. These are the same people. Mm-hmm. These are the same people in our country.
Yes.
That we've dashed away into absolute nothingness. We have put them in a sea of forgetfulness whilst they exist. All these people are is zombies now.
When you come back from the break, Howard, I'm going to share something with you.
We got to talk like
because
this.
I've not been on air for the whole year so far. And I've been going through a thought processing. And so when you come back from the break, I look forward to interaction with the listeners. And I have something to share with you.
Let's do that, guys. Let's take this commercial break. I want you guys to be able to participate in it. The numbers you can call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 242-4796. Quick commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
The foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink, or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. We're still talking crime. We're still talking crime reduction. We're still talking about how do we identify these things. And rather being able to scrutinize what one leader has said over another, identifying with the strength that we have within the course of our community, how we could deal with this. I think that's the answer does not exist within the council of a few men. The answer exists within the body of us as a people. Now, whether that means you're going to participate or scrutinize, that's it. As you rightly indicated, Garth, the society is only divided between wisdom and fools. That's it.
That's it. The whole world.
The difficulty of being able to call yourself and identify yourself under the lens or guise or umbrella of a fool is that, you know, it's taboo.
Yeah,
but there's some convictions that you carry. There's some conditions that has happened to you in your life that you have decided that this will be my portion. I've accepted it.
That's correct.
I have accepted the fact that the violence visited upon me, I will generate more violence. You've decided that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me. How am I talking?
You're talking like
I have decided that the violence that you visited upon me, I will emulate that. Duplicate that, replicate that, and be as indecent as I can possibly be as a call and a cry out for help.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all this is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Young people are looking for help. Let's just be very clear. They have been left to their own devices, literally. Mm-hmm. Whether that's Super Nintendo, Sega Nintendo, PlayStation. We have been left to our devices. The television has grown and morphed us, and there is a subtle agenda that exists in this space. Now our children are becoming super violent.
Howard, I observed all of this behavior from during the Christmas month of December. It was very disheartening. I think you and I, we ended the year on a pretty good note in terms of our involvement in society. And at the beginning of the year, I just sat back and I had to go through my mind and make observations. The one thing that breaks my heart in this country, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm not even interested in political advancement. I'm not interested in making this contribution that I'm making every week on the air, etc. Because I felt at the time that the people who you help the most seems to be the people in this country that despise you the most.
You see this? Mm-hmm. There's a text that's just coming through.
Another one?
Howard, sadly, even as you and Garth speak right now, I'm learning of another shooting in Camp Road area. Something is seriously wrong in our society.
Mm-hmm. Now, you see the empathy and the concern you had just now? I saw someone recently who I went beyond to assist, to care for. There was nothing sexual. There was nothing in terms of a reward or to be given to me per se, other than I was happy to help. I saw the person recently at an establishment, and
you know, of course, it's a new year. So I said, hey, good to see you. Happy New Year. So I said, man, maybe I'll get a greeting or something of that particular nature. The person saw me and went about their business, got what they wanted, jumped in their car and left.
Like they didn't see you at all?
Like I never even existed.
My God.
So what occurs to people like ourselves, Howard, who help? You have this thing called Help Howard, yes?
Mm-hmm.
You help people continuously. And the same people who you're helping don't even recognize you as a human being. And they don't even care about you. They show no care or concern for you. And you have to now wonder, as I look at my life, here I am driving an older vehicle. If I kept my money, maybe I could drive a new one like everyone else. Maybe if I kept my money, I could expand my house, or I can create an Airbnb, or I can get a bigger boat, or I can fix my Mercedes or get a new Mercedes. I can do these things now because I'm now going to care for myself. I'm talking about an uncaring spirit now. How easy it is, Howard. Right?
So you're saying to me that this has a domino effect?
It does.
That this is infectious.
When
the epidemic may be a lack of care.
It's a lack of care, but people are becoming afraid to care, is what I'm saying to you. Because caring has no merit. Caring has no reward. And so when you hear of these things taking place, you want to take on the position now that it ain't my business. I'll tell you how easy it is, Mr. Howard Grant. The people in Lyford Key, we have not heard of anything like this in Lyford Key lately, or Old Fort Bay for a while, or Treasure Cove, or Port New Providence, those gated communities, those people on the Eastern Road. Does this really affect them? Or is this just news? Do they care what happens on the streets of our country? Those people who are the pastors who live by the lake, when they hear this news, do they really care? And have they shown us that they really care? The Christian Council. Huh? All these doctors and lawyers and psychiatrists and educators, have they shown us that they really care? Or are they too busy trying to get a pay raise, trying to get a bigger house, trying to get a better car, trying to go on vacation, and they're like that person on the road seeing the poor guy on the side of the road and passing by? And if it wasn't for the Good Samaritan, who will help? Who will care? And you'll find more people will pass you by in this life that will actually take the time to care. So I had to ask myself the question, who in the Bahamas really cares about Garth? And then you ask the question, who are really my friends? And I made up my mind, Howard, that this phone is nothing more than a remote control. People call you with this phone, and they only have an issue, a problem, or a need that they have, or they're giving you some bad news of someone who got killed, or someone who went through some tragedy. But ask yourself the question, how much positivity comes through your cell phone? And they take up your time, they take up your energy, they take up your talent. And this is a society that's being created, Howard, right before our eyes, as if we are part of a computer program. What do they call it? The Matrix.
My God.
Is the Bahamas now subject to the Matrix? Because this is now the behavior of global society. When did this behavior actually penetrate and infiltrate into our beloved country called the Bahamas? 21 miles by 7, you're telling me, Howard Grant, that we cannot control these people? We cannot begin to turn this cycle around and move from negative to positive with only, you said it before on your show, only 400,000 people?
It's only a handful of people.
In America, in Atlanta, the municipality of Alpharetta, and then you got Dunwoody, all these are municipalities, and they govern these municipalities.
Big time.
And manage it and make it profitable.
You got a mayor.
And we can't do that here in the Bahamas?
Talk to me.
So the system itself has to be revisited. It has to be broken down, reconstructed and built to survive the onslaught of such behavior.
Guys, the lines are wide open. Please be a part of it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon.
What's up, Anton?
Howard and God.
What you say?
Happy New Year to you, God.
Happy New Year, my very good friend.
Man, like I was wondering myself for several of the sessions with Howard. Where you was?
I was in the tongue of the ocean at the bottom.
Although I must
tell me you want to take a break.
Hey God, I must admit, I also was on a sabbatical, seeking and determining.
Yes.
If I want to participate.
Yes.
And if I do.
In the PLP, or you mean in the conversation? Talk to me.
Say it again, Howard.
I say in the PLP or in the conversation? They talk to me. go ahead. I don't even mess with you.
Jesus said nothing.
I can hear that one right now. But,
hallelujah.
But definitely and certainly, as it relates to the conversation and the kinds of conversation I participate in, whether I want to keep it on a nationalistic level as a nationalist, or whether I want to seek to help from the other angles as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what God's expressed is real. It's mm-hmm. real in this country.
Yes.
And you would have alluded to it somewhat yesterday as well, Howard, when you spoke about persons coming to you and, you know, seeking you out, and then you still have the consideration of wondering if these people think your children have hair on their tongue mm-hmm. and they don't eat, right? Mm-hmm. Et cetera. And so the consideration is real. Matter of fact, I was at an event or sometime this week, I don't remember today or exactly when, but the pastor spoke, a leading apostle in the country, and he pretty much said the same thing that God is saying, and that you said yesterday, and that I recognize as well. You know, he said that everybody coming to me to prophesy for them, all these prophecies coming through, mm-hmm. all these doors opening, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't look back
nope.
for 1 minute
nope.
to wonder if any door opened for the prophet who's nope. prophesying for them, right? And so, like you have said, God, we do appear to have a society. And it seems to stem from the top down to the bottom.
My God.
Mm-hmm. of persons who don't care, or persons who will use and abuse you to no end.
Okay.
And then disregard you.
Okay.
As though you it's want. Truthful.
That's the culture, though.
Integral part.
No, that's the culture. If they feel as if you are just meek, mild, and just easygoing. But the minute right. you kick up some dust, then they say, oh, you're committing an offense. Why are you so abrasive? Why are right. you so angry? Why you're are right. you so discontented? But let me say this to you, man. Mm. Elijah came out of that cave,
mm-hmm.
and Jezebel couldn't stand. Huh?
Right.
Heavy.
The prophets of Baal couldn't stand. So when certain people, and I said this on my Facebook this morning, I saw an elephant. Just a quick right. nip here. The alligator attacked the elephant's calf.
Mm.
And when the mother elephant turned on that alligator, she took her trunk, wrapped right. it around that alligator, and yes. stomped the alligator to death. And people said they've yes. never seen the fury of an elephant like that. An yes. elephant is a huge, mild animal.
Yes.
But if you rub that mild animal the wrong way, they stomp.
Absolutely.
And my this God. Is what is wrong with this country. You keep right. underestimating the next man that, you know what, I'm going to take you out, not understanding that when the right. tide turns, the only thing that's going to end up is your passing and your death. People, yeah. listen to me. Yeah. Mild people are not soft people. Mild yeah. people are caring people. But yes. if you rub them the wrong way,
yes.
PLP and FNM, if you rub the people the wrong way, you're yes. going to get stomped.
That is a fact, God. Everything you just said, fact. So just taking a little turn in the conversation to what you all are discussing as it relates to crime, Howard and God and the nation. Look, in my view, and I've been making observations, in my observations, in my experience, and just plain common sense, you know,
mm-hmm.
And making contributions over the last 20 to 25 years, in particular in the talk show realm, relating to the subject matter of crime. God touched on some things I've been lending my voice to in that regard, right? And I'll just highlight general topics of consideration, Howard and God, that perhaps even y'all could delve into in the conversation. There is the family structure that we have to consider in this conversation. This challenge of crime, and it is a challenge, this challenge of crime is so vast, you have to take a comprehensive approach and look and viewpoint in order to mitigate some of the challenges that we are experiencing now, where the chickens have come home to roost, and some of the unforeseen challenges that are on their way on 2024 that we have yet to experience, right? We have to look at the family structure. We have to consider the womb if we're going to be resolving crime. We have to consider the absence of fathers, right? We have to consider the presence of mothers, right? We have to consider the makeup of the womb structure in our country. We have to consider the absence of the extended family being the community. We have to consider poverty. We have to consider economic adversity and its impact, as well as the success, economic success and its negative impact, because that also has a huge negative impact, Emirat. We have to consider education. We have to consider home ownership, access to home ownership. We have to consider opportunities. We have to consider the neighborhoods that our families are being brought up in and the surroundings. We have to consider policing in its real effectiveness, ineffectiveness, its policies, and the way it generally communes with the community across the country, right? We have to consider
Anton, you're going to have to let me consider one commercial break, and then we can get back and have this kind of a conversation, all right? Let me take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back. Anton, hold up with me, all right? We're going to dive into this. We're going to be right back after this.
The foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic, and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons. sense.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. There's another one gone. That's what it seems. There's another one gone. In the midst of a conversation about crime, in the midst of this kind of a this position that we've taken socially to identify this, even in the news break, I'm listening to these things for Parkgate Road. We've been talking about Parkgate Road. For a while, we know one of the companies that go through there. And I'm looking at this and the blood is spilling in the streets. Literally, flowing in the streets. I saw this and it reminded me how my grandfather used to kill hog. You hold a hog upside down, hold him by his thing, boom, let him bleed out. And then you boil him, shave him. Is this what our country has come to? That human life means absolutely nothing? Is this what we've come to?
Barbaric behavior.
This is bananas to me.
But you know, Howard, I'm saying that for those of us who care, we feel it, you know. There are a whole lot of people out there who have no sensitivity to the matter. The one thing that's standing out as I listen to you, and I love your mind because, you know, you go to the deeper levels of conversations. Mm-hmm. Every political organization that's in opposition always utilizes crime and murder as a tool to succeed in the next general election. And upon them being elected...
We get the answers. That's what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
Vote for me. I will give you the answers when I reach.
They can't fix it, but we can.
We can fix it.
Listen to me.
In 2026.
We're now going into our third year of governing this country. And only now we're seeing the government releasing a crime plan as if they had none before. Or what they had before previously was not satisfactory enough to delete the very mindset of murder, rape, and crime in this country. And so, once again, we are holding Howard in hope that this new plan would be the plan to erase this nightmare from the borders of this country. Is this new plan going to work? Or do we have to seek yet another? And will the royal opposition say, we've been sitting in observation, knowing that the government is failing, but vote for me the next time, and we will give you what our recourse is.
After 500 people die.
Yeah.
Is 500 people have
died. So is that the type of government we will now look forward to as well?
God, we must have just sacrificed people to Moloch.
Or will the royal opposition...
This is too much.
And the government sit together on this matter and care. I use the word care again. C-A-R-E. And simply just care.
Enough.
To
to sit together with the clergy, with the pastors, with the psychiatrists, and those interested individuals, and really come with a formidable plan that can work.
Let's take a telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard and Mr. Gott.
Hey.
How are you?
All is well.
Happy New
okay.
Year.
I don't know year. If Howard, you have Anton still holding or
he's. Hey, look like Anton's still there. The line's gone.
To do some work. Pardon me?
No, I don't think he's still there.
Okay, good. I want to pick off from where Anton lived off from, right? We have to consider that this island, remember now, that's how he left off, right or wrong?
Right.
This island, Howard, is not named FNM or PLP.
My God.
Okay? We have enormous persons who don't even give a diddly squat about politics.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they care about is a country running properly. Am I right or wrong?
I agree with you.
We have to consider how a prayer without work is there.
Talk to me.
Okay? We have to consider how removing these leadership, and don't care who may it be, if they are not there and they are not incapable. If they are incapable of leading, right? We have to consider allowing the police to do their work without interference. We also have to consider replaying Reverend Dr. T.G. Morrison's Majority Rule Sermon and listen to that carefully, okay? We also have to consider, again I say, take politics out of this country's business, and let's rule this country as it's supposed to. And until then, we ain't gonna have no country.
My God.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much for your telephone call. I really do appreciate that. Wow. We ain't gonna have no country. That's heavy.
Mm-hmm. What you have is a territory, an uncontrolled territory. So what she's saying is so profound. Because countries...
I got a call. I got a text about that. Yesterday we were talking about... one of my guests actually called me. He and I had a conversation on Friday. And he's talking about the mass feminization of the male. Right? It's not just happening locally. He said this is an approach that's happening globally. Mm-hmm. This concept to be able to feminize men and to be able to take their strength from them by being able to introduce different concepts and ideas has left the country in this space. And as a result of us being able to move towards this feminization, what we've done is perpetuate a society and not build a nation. I thought the thing was bananas.
So if I were to say this to you again, based on what Mandela said, there's only the wise and the fools. A wise man knows who he is. A foolish man takes on what other people tell them. This feminism idea, your son with the light skin and curly hair, sorry, Howard, I know you got light skin, curly hair.
His hair ain't curly. His mother's from Eleuthera. It's gold.
I had
his hair gold. He born with a gold head, but it's definitely curly.
Sorry, Mrs. Pratt. I had this whole low blow. But you know, these women, you know, you get caught up on your sons and you want your sons to look so pretty. Listen to me, man. Our nation is in trouble. Look at the forces of the Bahamas. You're looking at the police officers. You're looking at your defense force officers. We need strong examples in our society. I think there's some women on the police force that are doing a tremendous job.
Yes.
There are those of you women who are doing a tremendous job on the defense force. I met a beautiful one the other day, Officer Simonet. And listen to me. She is what a young Bahamian lady should be. She was cordial. She was very polite. And listen, I was so impressed, I got goosebumps. People, what is wrong with our behavior? Where is that loving, caring spirit? We're not, like Howard said, we're not going to fight you.
No.
We're not going to fight you. Stop trying to make your son into a woman and stop trying to make your daughter into a man. This ain't about no gender. Nelson Mandela just told you that. Either your child is going to be wise or your child is going to be a
fool.
Junior achiever.
Okay, I want to say this. There's complexity to this wisdom. And I see your lines. Don't fight me. I come in right now.
We ain't fighting.
There's complexity to this concept of wisdom. As a man pursuing all you're getting, what are you supposed to get?
Wisdom.
Okay. But that means you have to pursue wisdom.
So who's going to instruct children many that they
times,
need to pursue this?
Many times we as a society have differentiate wisdom from the pursuit of, we believe that the pursuit of wisdom exists within the confines of an educational system. So this regurgitation that we have in our society, this repetition, they believe that to be wisdom because they could repeat something, but there's no critical thinking in that. And so this pursuit of wisdom is the facade now. A lot of people educated, but they stupid. Not in a bad way, it would be decent. They educated. But they still do not have the wisdom and the discernment to understand when to speak, when not to speak, when to participate, when to pull back. And we're still here. No matter how much paper you got to say, I've been off all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that to say this wisdom is important.
Very. But how, look at how...
This wisdom is crucial.
I've been dying to say this, man. Let me say this in 2024.
Don't die, my brother. Go ahead.
A lot of you being people, you always act stupid. You
my
know?
God, you didn't condemn the people.
No, I say a lot of you. I didn't say if you say use one of them, then you stupid too. Yes.
My God, pull it back.
Okay. but let me tell you why I say that, man. I have nothing against like motorcycles, you know. I like them motorbikes, right? Fellas, I've got these little trail motorbike. And all day long, Howard Grant, they on one wheel. All through the neighborhood, making a bunch of noise all day long. That's the type of son you want? This man ain't got nothing else to do than try to be Evel Knievel all day long until he get knocked down off the motorbike. And so I was driving last week, Howard, and what did Garth behold? Fella on the motorbike in the middle of the road crying like a baby. Now ask me how I felt. And I'm just being honest here today on the radio. I'm confessing my sins. Ask me how I felt.
You didn't care.
I did not care.
You're wilding out, sir.
I did not care. And I said, you know what? Another one down.
The fever has gotten you.
Yes, but I couldn't care.
We get to break this fever of non-caring.
And so what I'm saying, people, is that help us who care to care further because you're not giving us anything to work with.
Let's make some things happen. Let me take this telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Thanks so much for holding.
Yes. I'm back with you.
Okay, go ahead, Anton. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. Let me just finish up quickly, Howard. You know, I during your break or during your news break, Chester spoke about governance and some of the things that I wanted to list off. But in any event, we have to consider governance and government and its laws to the judiciary and its application of the laws. We have to consider restitution because that's a part of the formula that's tremendously missing. That teaches responsibility to those committing crimes and leaving families with major gaps in them as a result of the negative impacts, right? We have to consider reform rehabilitation. Upgrading our constitution is a major plank, which our government is yet to do. We had a constitutional committee, which was led by Sean McQueenie and former justice retired Mrs. Nottage. They left at least 70 recommendations on the books for constitutional reform, which we have yet to approach, which needs to be addressed. And then I'll end with these two notes. Khalil Parker Casey, the president of the Bahamas Bar. Y'all can hear me clearly, Garth and Howard?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Khalil Parker recently said in an interview something that is so critical, and I believe it has to be highlighted on a daily basis because if the government and the police can get this part that he highlighted correct, I believe based on the statistics that government provides, which The Guardian reads off daily in its news reports, I believe if the government and police can get this aspect right that he spoke to, up to 50% of crime or deaths related to crime could fall away almost instantly. And that is, Khalil Parker highlighted, we also have a problem monitoring those who are accused of serious crimes, monitoring them properly, policing them properly, and providing protection for them while they are out on bail. If the police can get that correct, if the government can equip the police and empower the police when necessary to address that effectively, up to 50% of crime, because the statistics reveal that at least, 60% of the crimes committed were committed or death experienced were either committed or experienced by those who are out on bail. If we can focus in, zoom in, and get that correct, a lot of murders will follow immediately. And then finally, Howard, I would say something that God spoke to a little earlier that I've been speaking to for the last 20, 25 years on talk shows. The classroom, Howard and God, the classroom. The classroom can be used as a preventative and ongoing crime-fighting tool and mechanism. Why? The classroom is where outside of the home, it's the place where children spend most of their time on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, and on a yearly basis. And the teachers in that classroom, they are gathering intelligence that can assist the government in formulating policy, in formulating laws, and that can provide the Royal Bahamas Police Force with necessary intelligence, which they can act on as a preventative and an ongoing crime-fighting tool or mechanism. The classroom, it is very critical.
And I like
it needs
this,
to be utilized more and more as we engage forward.
I like
and
this,
fight against crime. Thank you all for the opportunity. God bless.
Call your minister, see if you could get a job as a consultant. I feel like that's a salt of the earth contribution.
Well, he's intelligent, you know.
I feel like that was a good contribution. The base of it all is really caring. We have to care enough to institute those things, to execute those things, to implement those things. I like that. And I think that this is what these kind of conversations are. Rabble-rousing conversations for truth. To be able to get... to provoke you to a position to be able to speak truth to power. But I think that's what we're here for. To talk about a true sense of growth and development and where we could be able to move this country to from where we are. And I think it starts at a base. You said it very, very clearly. Emphatically. I think it starts at the base of caring. Let me read a couple of these texts. Don't fight me. So it says, Howard, why don't you and your guests find ways to present bills to the government? Let's get Freedom of Information Act and whatever we want now. All Garth doing is trying to sound all pompous on the radio. Men like y'all of means and intelligence should be able to do more than just talk. Lobby government. Present bills. This information is coming to
the
forefront.
I want to respond to that person. I thank them for their interest. I thank them for their concern. I thank them for their belief in us as men. But, you know, before...
I was waiting for the conjunction, but go ahead.
Yeah, but when you cast stones, try to walk in my shoes for one day. You don't know me. You know nothing of me. You don't know what I withstand on a daily basis. What I have, I made a decision to be wise and work for. And in my working and in my getting, I've cared enough to carry the weight of many of families, many an individuals. Push them in the right direction. I have done my part as God has given me strength. And I get no strength elsewhere. And this is why I'm saying to you.
I don't think this was destructive.
As a community. No, I'm saying to him. As a community, yeah. It's not Howard and God sounding pompous. Mm-hmm. It's wherever you are, you find me and join me and help me to do what I do.
I like what you
said. And until you do that, sit small. Because everybody talk about what the other person should be doing, but I want to ask you, what are you doing? Because you see, it's no we in caring. Mm-hmm. There's no we. It's I. Mm-hmm. I care. And when I care and I care, then there is we. But when I care and you don't care, it ain't no we. It's you and it's me. And everyone who works has a right to be exhausted. And until we get people who can assist others in doing what they do, we're going to have a tired society, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. It's not being pompous. It's about working together.
I don't fight people who talk like this, you know.
No, I want them to talk like this.
Because
they've been doing plenty talking. They say, I talk? Come to my house. Let me show you what talking is do.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I read it, because I believe that people have a unique perspective.
Of who?
That's been, generally. Their perspective, their outlook.
I hate the word pompous. That's right. Why I went off like that.
I realize that.
I don't like the word
might
pompous.
Be a trigger
because my whole life has been humility.
Right. Yeah.
Has always been my guide.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at them. I'm not fighting them.
Don't be pompous. Don't be pompous.
We don't ever want to be pompous.
Calm down.
you don't want us to never look at me as being pompous.
You're doing a lot.
I always put my foot in my mouth just now.
Let me read a couple more things. So it says, good day. Is there anything in the law that prevents the government or the courts from inducing higher bail? Example, $500,000 to $1 million for serious crimes. Actually, if you read these particular, there's an article that I actually read today that indicate that they would actually have that. Was this the article that I read today? $500,000. Let me see if I can be able to find that for you. Yeah, in the article, they spoke about this today, about being able to ensure that this could be one of the things as a deterrent. Here it is. Let's see if we can find it, right? Under the amended penal code passed a decade ago, a person who is a member or participates in and contributes to the activities of an unlawful gang, where any or all the members of the unlawful gang engage in or have, within the proceedings of 3 years, engaged in this commission and indicates the offense, commits the offense, and is liable on conviction to a fine of $500,000 to the imprisonment or the imprisonment of 20 years. So the information's in there.
Here's your issue. When you want to imprison more people, you have to have accommodation.
But all this has led to more problems.
But I'm saying to you have no accommodation for people who can't afford to pay $500,000. The reason why they're doing what they're doing is they do not have $500,000.
And let's just be very clear about
this.
So
you're going to compound the problem.
All this is a relentless compounding of the problem. You put them in a slop bucket prison. How can you expect any reform to come from this?
The people in this country have it. Let me just say it. And I like what the person said, even though they called me pompous, right? I'm going to give them much credit. I have to give them some credit.
Okay, that's good.
Because you know what? There's so much truth in what they said, though. The people who can actually make these things happen are not. These people are out there talking in their living rooms, talking in their offices, talking in their churches. But the government needs to find these people, open the doors to let these people come together, sit together, and make this thing actually a reality. Until we get there, nothing is going to happen, man.
Somebody texts me and says, Howard, what's the number? 323-622-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. He says, I won't call in, but what's the purpose of changing government when all repeat the same thing? Mm-hmm. And nothing does change. I'm tired of this, man. I'm tired of this. God is going to pay every man for his misleading or misgoverning this country. And all the clergymen who got rich off of this country, remember, 2024 is the year of exposure. Is the Texas coming
through? I love that person. I love that. I hope they can actually make it and call in. Call in, please call in. I love that text.
The text is coming through. Say, boy, Howard, I agree with that lady 100%. The text that I text you before to say that if you want a brand new country, you're going to have a brand new parliament. We cannot go forward with our current leaders. They are totally off track. Please, Bahamians, begin to consider our leadership options. Stop believing the false narratives and spreading about potentially good leaders. This is heavy what you're saying.
Mm.
Because I believe this is a systematic problem, not leadership. It can't be that every time you put in a different man, we still have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue from 2014. From 2010. We've had triple digits. Mm-hmm. You remember the first time that we saw triple digits? We say, Jesus God, 100 people they kill?
Yeah, we were starting to compare ourselves to Jamaica at that point, saying by way of...
And now it has become a social expectation that if we could keep it under 130, we're good. Oh, we didn't do too bad this year. We hit 128. We're all right. Oh, 109? Guys, we're doing great. We're reduced by a significant percentage. This is where we are in our society now. This has become the norm for us to be able to identify.
And you know what's crazy about all that you're saying? We do not produce guns in this country. We do not manufacture. They have this type of a problem.
We don't produce tennis either.
And so where are all...
We used to produce pineapples, but we got access.
And then guess what?
This is a major thoroughfare globally on the waters. You got to come through the Bahamas to go where you're going. If you're going to the east, you're coming this way. If you're going to the west, you're coming this way.
Now we could send some of them and train them and go to Haiti.
It's a great deal we don't produce in this country, but we got it. Who's produced solar panels in here? We got them. So having this kind of a flippant conversation about the fact that we don't produce something is negating the fact that you have to deal with real issues. So let's just say, we don't produce. Come on, man.
So we didn't kill him with slingshot. Come on, Howard. You got to find ways to just...
Listen, murder existed before gun.
Okay.
If it's a murderer and it in your spirit to be a murderer, if this perpetuation of violence that Dr. Allen is talking about with your desires to be able to take somebody out, whether or not that is with an ice pick, which was the tool of the time. One time ago, they'd stick you with an ice pick that was heavy. Huh?
I don't mean to laugh, Howard, but you know about that? You're old enough to know about that?
Yeah, I hear the songs and the story. My daddy listened to all these old boys' stories.
So people forgive me. That's why I laugh.
Your platform shoes and ice pick. You made your platform shoes and ice pick. You only carry the ice pick because the fella can't even find a hole where you're bleeding out after these things.
Oh, Howard, you hear something.
What you mean? I tell you, hang around these people.
But now, you know, you're going into, I guess.
These were still murderers.
You got to have a show with us.
These are murderers and killers. The mindset exists in you and it's seeping to your children. Greater works these you should also do. Your daddy stabbed somebody with an ice pick. You just get a gun. What is the difference?
Well, I have...
You're all as killers.
I have...
That's why Grammy has asked, well, who your family is? What their last name is?
But I have a dilemma, Howard. In the Bible, they have the death penalty, Dean? Right?
You know they just kill everybody, eh?
But you know about the death penalty, right?
Of course.
And you know it came out of this law of Moses that you stone people to death, etc., right? So I'm trying to figure how come Cain killed Abel and God ain't allow him to die. When is mercy to be given to a murdering spirit? Because you spoke about a spirit just now. You spoke as if once this person is a murderer, they is a murderer.
Well, the Freemasonic movement said that the spirit of dissent continues to exist within the organization after 50 years. So... if we're leading by that precedent alone, it says that the spirit never leaves you. My God, I just get preachy quickly. I need to calm down. If the spirit never leaves you, you now have to transform your thinking and separate yourself from what exists externally because that spirit ain't going nowhere. Even the demons that were legion said, do not kill us and send us into the abyss.
That's something.
Send us into the hogs.
That's
into the swine. You can't, you're not going to obliterate the violence. Like the minister texts me and say, you cannot eradicate violence. I accept that. So, but my God, let's send that spirit into the hog.
You sounded like the hangman. I can start calling you the hangman.
No, don't kill me. My God. Ladies and gentlemen, quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The Foundation. The
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Start your day off with a mouth-watering deal. Available only at Wendy's. Introducing our new weekday breakfast deal that gives you a choice between three delicious items for just $3. You heard right. Monday through Thursday mornings, you get a choice between our bakery bliss croissant, breakfast baconator, or a three-piece pancake meal. Each only $3. Stop by your nearest Wendy's today. Better mornings always start at Wendy's.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I'm the creative director of House of Assembly. Alive's Liberty Prime Plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected, whether at home or abroad. Once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive. Believe in best.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Foundation. The Foundation.
Lines are wide open, guys. Give me a call. Let's be able to be a part of the conversation. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Quick telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Grant. How are you?
What's happening, my brother? All is well?
Man, G-Man, and God, I thought you all block my cords, man.
No, man.
I just reached.
I wouldn't do such a thing.
I just reached.
Listen to me.
Man.
I, you know what I hate to hear?
Uh-huh.
Then they talk about serious crime.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is crime.
Always serious.
Crime is like sin. Sin is sin. People talk about...
But that ain't what y'all tell us.
Well, that's what I'm telling you now.
The crime of homosexuality, obviously, worse than the crime of sweethearting, based upon this society.
But crime is crime.
It's sweethearting a crime.
Thing too.
It's a sin. That's what I'm saying. Sin,
yeah,
sin,
sin. Yeah, sin is sin. Another thing, too. My thing is this. If a woman could allow her son to bring home a 55-inch TV...
My God.
No, he ain't working.
My God.
No, he ain't getting no time to get his TV. And the police come and meet that TV in the house. Every person who they catch watching that TV, they should get locked up.
Sorry, I was just
busy. Even if the little children, if they watch them, Dodd, I lock up everybody.
You are wilding out.
Oh, mercy, Lord.
Okay? Because you're encouraging crime. Okay, another thing. That incident in Grand Bahama yesterday, with a 13-year-old young man gets stabbed because he didn't want to join a gang. This is a good way for the government to show the people what they could do with these gang people, these gang members. Them seeing three there who stabbed the young man, I give each one of them, I don't care how old he is, each one of them between 25 to 50 years. So you ain't got to worry about them said trying to get gang members no more.
What we creating, though?
Monstrous
18 months in Fox Hill prison. 18 months could change your life forever.
G-Man, let me say this in closing. If God direct me. If you see somebody were to do that to my son, hear me out. Sad would not only be their cry. And this ain't no threat. This is a promise. I don't make promise I can't keep. Sad will not only be their cry. Sad will be their sister, their brother, their mother, anybody I see.
You're wilding out. You're perpetuating more of this violence. We're trying to eradicate.
No. See, you got to fight. You can't fight a gunfight with a knife. You're looking to lose.
Yeah, but that's one of the issues that we have. And one of the major issues that we have in our society is retaliation.
What is
and vigilante justice.
Who's looking out for the innocent people like me and my son and the innocent people like you and your children?
Yeah,
who's looking out for them?
What the government says is that at the very onset of many of these murders and people being snuffed out is these children are known to the police. They're known to the police. We know them. This one was out on bail. This one died with an ankle bracelet, so forth and so on. So this scenario ain't your son.
So would that young 13-year-old, he had on any ankle bracelet?
Let's have you what you're getting in now.
He had anything on him. That's an innocent child wanted to try and live right. He don't want to be a part of that stupidness. And that's what he get. Yeah. And then what's going to happen to the people who did that then?
I understand.
13 months in the boys' industrial... 14 months in prison.
Come out, Royce.
No, I
the guy in the school when they go to prison, the nigga say, man, y'all ain't do it right. Next time you do it like this.
It's the second time they call me and say, Negroes, you need to stop.
Yeah.
It's a people business. It's a people show. Let's be decent. If I was on the podcast, it's a different conversation. We had to be.
But you know,
to
you know what, Howard?
That's a great contribution. I appreciate
it. I've had the opportunity to be a guest speaker at the industrial school, you know, the school to correct behavior in young children. And I was invited by one Miss Renee Bowe. She teaches there. And you know what I found? Those kids were so mannerly. They were just exemplary.
My children mannerly right when I get too.
No, I'm just simply saying though, I did not expect to see such discipline in a situation like that where all the children actually was interested in what was being said. And seem to be interested in doing the classwork. And so I don't think we can throw away everyone who has made an error in terms of their behavior. There are some of them that can be saved. But I do also agree with you that we have to find an end to this massacre that we're facing. Even I myself thought this year I wanted to apply for a shotgun, you know, because I felt vulnerable too. I felt like, you know, citizens should have the right to bear arms this year. I never thought that way before, but I'm thinking that way now. Because like he just said, Howard Grant, who's going to protect me? And that is the question many citizens are now asking themselves. With all of this going on, and they bring it to my doorstep, what am I supposed to do?
Somebody texts me and says, Howard, you have to clear up the issue in Grand Bahama.
Grand Bahama? there was with a young boy?
There was no gang. You know, gangs in Grand Bahama. That's what the people say. You know, gangs in Grand Bahama.
Which part of Grand Bahama?
Well, the Crips and Blood could be in Fort Lauderdale. And we only know them to be in...
You got gangs here.
If the Crips and Blood, we know them to be in Compton and Watts in California in the early 80s, late 70s. And now they've spread it through Chicago, Detroit,
Atlanta,
Washington, D.C.
New York, has ever been
Texas.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that this concept and idea of gangs ain't a 45-minute trip away? So the concept and idea of why children move towards gang is because of their being disenfranchised. If I didn't have the confidence that I had and there was a fat crew when I was in school, I may have joined the fat crew. That's just what it is. People go where they're comfortable. We've seen this. If you're a goth, if you're an introvert and you identify these particular persons, people gravitate towards that. Mm-hmm. Even if you were a Christian group and people didn't want, they want to be able to shine you because, oh man, we don't talk like that. We ain't into that Bible stuff. You identify the grouping that accepts you. In our society, we've been set up in such a way where we've been segregated.
So Howard,
there's no acceptance.
So Howard, here's the situation.
And that's why there's this perpetual screaming and fighting for their political organizations, because that's the only people who ever accepted you.
So Howard, in the last 10 minutes of your show, I just asked this as a favor to you then, with the listeners that are tuning in today. Many people do not have the choice to live geographically where their children are safe or where they can raise a family knowing that they will be safe. Some of these areas here in our country are prone to this type of mischief and this type of behavior. I think this thing called urban renewal, I think you may be familiar with urban renewal.
2.0 or the first one?
Man, anyone could work. Did the first one work or did it not work? Is the second one working or is that failing? Or do we need an urban renewal 3.0 to alleviate this mentality out of these neighborhoods? What type of neighborhoods are they actually working in, as a matter of fact?
The one thing that I have the issue with reform is that these debilitating behaviors didn't happen. They didn't start in school. When I was in the first grade, children was coming to school cursing.
From when?
In the first grade.
Y'all used to cuss in Freeport?
In 8 Mile Rock, so let's be very clear. We start the cussing thing, right? Right? But in the first grade.
Y'all ain't had no real vocabulary, but y'all know them.
Children, they only duplicate what they've seen.
Okay.
So if so you cussing in your house, that's it, right? By the time you get to sixth grade, there were perverse conversations that baffled me in the fifth grade, that young children, same age as I, having conversations with fifth graders. I never forget this. Fifth graders sitting down saying, boy, I wish I could just be able to get some wasps, and I put my thing in a wasp nest because this is the mindset that existed in the fifth grade. I was baffled for years.
I started cursing in fifth grade.
For years!
I learned a cursing for fifth grade.
So my point to you is
in St. Thomas More?
The Reformation.
In the Catholic school.
The Reformation and transformation and rehabilitation that you go out and seek and sit in these small groups and hold hands and sing kumbaya and then go back to these environments that teach you this. How you can ever lose it? You only find a way to become a chameleon and to cloak it, to hide it when you're in front of decent people. But when you're out here in the shadows and lurking in the dark.
Yeah, you curse at school, but you don't curse at home.
Oh, my God.
But when my mother found out, when Stephen Grant told my ma is cussing school, they'll cut
it. What do you mean, Stephen Grant?
Yeah, he passed. From Dowdell Street.
My brother's name is Stephen Grant.
From Dowdell Street. Yeah, he died early in life.
Wow.
But he told my mother, and I got the cut up of my life, so I didn't cuss again until, like, the baby said, I got my first piece. I said, ha ha!
I would think you would say Jesus.
I wanted to, but it was too.
You did the song. You're doing a lot today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me see if I can take a next telephone call before we get in here. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead, caller, you're on with us live.
Hi, Howard.
Hi.
I'm your guest.
Hi there, how are you?
Crime is everybody's business.
Yes, it is.
God knows it's not a laughing matter. It's a serious thing.
Anyway, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in the East, and all I get here is just the sirens just rushing past.
Out
past, rushing past.
Somebody's texting me right now. Somebody's texting me right there. Howard, since you've been speaking, there's been two more incidents. Two.
Yeah,
since I've been
traffic,
talking.
Traffic measures are required. Seriously, traffic measures are required.
You know what out east is?
It don't matter if you're east, west, north, or south.
East is where you got to leave home 6 o'clock in the morning.
I live beyond Marathon.
And humming.
Now, this needs to be praying. Okay, be good.
We got to work.
Action got to come into place.
Yes.
But I speak to the men of our country.
Yes.
Howard,
mm-hmm.
I speak to the men of our country.
Amen. Let me hear it.
We need our men in position. We need our men to get out there and pull some of these boys and men and mentor them and give them some sense of direction.
You know something?
Because our country, we have failed. It's the family, the family that's been lost.
Wow.
I love what you're saying. Could I say something to you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I personally, and I'm not boasting when I say this, I personally have taken young men under my wings. I try to give them a trade, give them an idea of what trade can do for them. They didn't have to go to school like I did. Just learn a trade. You hire these guys 7 o'clock in the morning. They come 8 o'clock, 8:30, late. They work, you know, when they reach, you got to buy them breakfast. They ain't got no money in the pocket. They buy them breakfast and you put them to work. By 11:30, they ready for lunch. You got to buy them lunch. Guess what happens after lunch?
They don't come back to work.
They got to make a run.
They got to smoke something.
Now, how often do they expect for me to do that? Now, guess what? God ain't had no job from 2016. But I find money to help people and to put people to work.
Do you know, gentlemen,
uh-huh.
Going to the primary school, this has always baffled me, and I think this is a part of the solution, too, for our country's ills. If you go into the primary school, especially like, say, the government schools, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to those assemblies and see those children performance when it's performance day.
Yes.
Check it out. They put on their best
behavior. Yes.
They're like little flowers. Children are like flowers.
Beautiful.
Ready to be blossomed. And if we could just arrest them, if we have to separate the schools, they'll do whatever we have to do. Because we have a crew out here who's out to destroy and break up and tear out, and they have no other direction. If Howard and gentlemen saw, if you could see the children's normal, if parents gambling in the yard, smoking dope in the yard,
and
the children are running up and down, playing around them, what do you think that child is going to grow up with as a normal? Come on.
I heard...
Smoking dope.
I heard an adult tell...
I appreciate
that child,
qualifying so much.
If you don't get your F and you know what... And I was like, what in the world?
That's how the people talk to chair.
I said, what in the world? You don't talk like...
My chair tell me that's how the teachers is talking to chair.
What?
Oh, my God, that's what the people do.
They got a lexicon for that? They got a dictionary for that?
That's how they do it. Let's talk to them.
No, man.
Things I never tell them they know.
So the language is violent.
It only boils down to what we talk about. They don't care. this evolving concept, when I left primary school in 1993, the very first time what I've heard my teacher say something that evolved into something entirely different. In 1993, I left primary school, entered high school. And my teacher at the time, who I looked up to, she was always like sort of a stickler, right? And she said, y'all need this information, you know. I get paid. Y'all need this in preparation for your life. Over the years, that evolved into, well, I don't care if y'all do this or not. I get paid at the end of the month.
That's correct. And if they ain't get no pay,
over the years, it evolved to a position where this job is seen as secured. I could get a loan in the bank. There's no care in here. There's no care and concern anywhere. This is about survival.
Mm.
And people only need to remain buoyant and afloat for them, themselves, and Irene. That's it. They're caring and concerning about society externally. Let me see if I can read a couple of these before we get out of here. Guys, I can't take no more telephone calls. Don't fight me. Being honest and straight up, I blame Pinlin for the woes we face today. This is a text that's coming through.
Jeez.
He should have left Pop 7 at doors alone. Because things only was ran right under Pop Dem. This is a text is coming through. Y'all are bananas when y'all say these things. I can't believe it. Right? Let me see if I can read another one. It says, good afternoon, Howard and guests. Parliamentarians aren't going to do anything because 80% of them are lawyers. 50% own their own law firms. Why would I want to affect my bottom dollar?
Benefit.
Stringent measures need to be put in place if we want change. Mm. The laws and punishments need to be updated. This is a text that's coming through. Mm-hmm. So it says, Howard, I take back the pompous. This is your guy. So Howard, I take back the pompous.
Whoever that is, but we can do lunch. We can do lunch.
So God.
We can do lunch. So, let's forget that. We can do lunch.
Say, but God is not about the government giving permission to allow, but rather, it's God is not about the government giving permission to allow, but rather, it's about us demanding they work for us. This is a text coming through, right? So he put back on that.
He's a decent business.
Yeah, Howard, you are absolutely bananas. You are spot on in a unique, preachy way. Okay, sorry for that, right?
Preachy.
So he says, so that's why Grammy also, they ask who your people is. Eh? You could have an ice pick killer and robbers within your
Howard, we supposed to have a show on that.
It ain't just that, you know. It goes deeper. It ain't just about murderers. See, Grammy them know whose teeth.
And whose kill.
They know murderers. They know teeth.
And whose cuss.
They also know, watch this, whores. Not in a bad way. Let's be decent. Grammy them.
I can't wait
the
for that.
The only thing that they've ever had was people watching in the community. Our forefathers only watch people. They watch TV. They watch people.
And they know who to tell you.
And as a result of watching people, they identify certain traits that keep coming from a particular bloodline and lineage.
Yeah, who your people
and
is.
So now they can tell you, got to watch how you're dealing with them people.
Yeah, don't bring them here. Don't bring them back here.
But that is go deeper because even the Lord himself said, you could deal with these said, but don't mess with them because they could take you away from God.
Yes.
Right? It says get deep and preachy. I try to be decent. Right? So it says, Howard, two murders, Parkgate Road and Fox Hill, Pine Yard Road, what? Howard. So text is coming through. It says, the biggest reason for crime is teenage pregnancy and people having babies in poverty. This is heavy what you're saying. Teenage pregnancy existed far beyond this. I remember when teenage pregnancy used to kick children to the outer islands. Because your parents are ashamed. I remember when teenage pregnancy happened in Freeport and then these children pop up in school, look mature with breast milk. They got breast pads on now in the 11th grade and in the 12th grade. But ain't nobody in Freeport know, but you in 8 Mile Rock now. Teenage pregnancy always happened.
But when a person coupled it with poverty, and see, poverty is a newly exposed situation in terms of being able to see everyone else in the world has it and I don't. So that's why they probably put teenage pregnancy with poverty, because this is a new type of poverty we got now, man. This is exposed poverty.
Guys, we're far out of time. Let me see if we can read this. The prayer thing was cute, but even your God says that prayer without works is dead.
Amen.
You pray for murders to stop, but not for leaders to have integrity.
Address it.
Praying for crime is easy, but not men and women in government that lead by example. This deep one. She go into some more things. I want to thank you guys so very kindly. This has been an absolutely provoking conversation. I'm hoping that those persons who ingest the information and put it to paper can be able to hear, apply, absorb, and see reformation in our community. I want to thank you guys for so kindly for being able to tune in. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. If you want to be able to participate in that, give me a shout. Shout your boy out, 8270111, 8270111. I will see you mañana, Garth. I thank you, my brother. Let's see if you can chop this thing down again on Friday. Or is it too much?
Yeah, I'll come Friday.
Praise God. Let's be able to have this conversation. We can talk about crime. It sounds like two down today. Let's continue to be able to pray, but apply ourselves to work. We're going to see you tomorrow. God spare, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant.
Foundation.